In the words of a king, there is power. And as we behold him with unveiled faces, we're transformed into the very image of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. K. Ijishesan, brought to you by Kingswood Ministries International. We believe that as you listen, faith is stirred up in you to become all that God has called you to be.
So this morning, I'm going to be speaking briefly on what I call the blessing and gratitude. This is Gratitude Sunday, and my objective is to show you the relationship between the blessing and gratitude. Somebody said the blessing and gratitude. Somebody is wondering, blessing, gratitude, are they related? They are very much related. By the way, I want to start by introducing to you the concept of the blessing. Because we live in a world that a lot of people don't really get it when it comes to the blessing. People refer to material things as the blessing. Somebody just bought a car. Oh my God, it's a blessing. Somebody just married a woman. Oh, it's a blessing. Somebody just bought a house. It's a what? A blessing. Don't get me wrong. All these amazing things are wonderful. But the blessing is bigger than them. These things you are referring to, or that people refer to as the blessing, are products of the blessing. But they are not the blessing in itself. For us to really maximize blessing, we must understand its nature. Blessing is spiritual in nature. Can you write it down? Blessing is what? Spiritual in nature. So don't just define the blessing by natural physical manifestations. Those are fruits of the blessing. But the blessing itself is a spiritual force. Did you hear me? The blessing is a what? A spiritual force. A spiritual force that God has given to you to govern your life. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. I want to establish something. The blessing is a what? A spiritual force. It is primarily spiritual. It's not primarily material. But rather, it's primarily what? Spiritual. Look at it. He said, then God said, let us make man in our own image and according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over everything that creeps upon the earth. So you and I were made in the image and likeness of God. Come on, turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor. I'm not a product of evolution. I was created. You know, when somebody say you evolve, you should fight. No, I'm too gorgeous for evolution. And I know some of you are probably taking classes where you were lied to. I took one like that in 1989, and I was lied to, both in 101. I mean, a gorgeous thing like this. Say there was a time you looked like a tadpole. No, no relationship. Don't you never say myself and tadpole are not in the same family. So you got better, and you, no. I came straight. Fashion and model after God. I think it's not a metamorphosis. So I look like a tapu, then you grew legs and you start walking around. No, come on, I'm offended. You know, I'm so much like God that God decided to reside in me. He said, I don't need physical temples. I've got you. And for you to be able to ask God, that means you have something that is comparable with God. So God can only stay in a vessel that is fashioned to carry him. So you are made. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't disrespect yourself. You are fashioned after God. Okay, you're fashioned after God. You were never an animal. You are. No. Then in verse 28, Still Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Let's see what the Bible says. Can we read it out? Yeah. So from this scripture, we can see that God literally puts the blessing on man so that he can be fruitful, because it was after he was blessed, talking about man, that he received the charge to be fruitful. To fruitful means to bear forth, to be productive. Don't you know, say, I am productive because of the blessing. So the blessing comes to make you productive, to make you multiply, to make you fill the heart, to make you subdue. In other words, the blessing is a force. Subdue. You can only subdue with force. So when we say it's a spiritual force, you can see why it qualifies. It's subdue, because in the process of, you know, doing what God has called you to do on earth, there will be things you will have to use force against. Some of us, once we meet with opposition, we're like, no, maybe that's not for me. There are things you will need to subdue. Life is not like that. Everything's just going to cooperate with you. I just want to thank God for my soft life. Now, it will be soft life ultimately. But in the process of it becoming soft, you will have to use force. Subdue. Now, man bears fruit, multiplies, fills, subdue, and dominate by what? The blessing. So, now, listen. There's nothing here that suggested that God gave man, Adam and Eve, some physical things to accomplish this thing. In fact, according to this scripture, it was about God speaking over man. There was nothing physical about it. It was a spiritual tangibility that was communicated. And God says, because of this capacity that comes upon you, which is the blessing, he said you'll be able to do all these things. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Still talking about the blessing. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, it says, the blessing of the Lord. I love that. The blessing of the Lord. Somebody's like, I wish I'm from that family. You are connected to God. And there's something which is more than what any mortal man can give you, is the blessing of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, the blessing of the Lord. And he went on to say, he said, he makes rich. He makes rich. So if you're against rich, you're against God. Because the blessing of the Lord makes rich. Don't you know, say, God does not do broke. He does rich. Mm-hmm. So I don't like, you know, where people talk about, why do you go to workplace? Was it not to get paid? And all of a sudden you want to come to church, you don't want me to talk about you being rich. No, be real. And by the way, he says the blessing of the Lord makes rich. Don't you ever say, I don't do broke. I do rich. Because I'm blessed. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. And I can prove it from the scripture that the moment the blessing comes upon you, the next thing that will be seen is greatness and, you know, abundance. God blessed Abraham. And the next thing, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, is that Abraham was very rich. Okay? No, I can understand rich, but he said very rich. So, you know, there's a rich that if anything happens to what you have, you are poor. But there's a rich that you are comfortably rich. It says Abraham was what? Very rich. Genesis 13, 2. He was very rich in cattle, in silver, in livestock, in gold and silver. Why? Because the Lord blessed him. But that does not make the blessing natural or physical. It only tells you that that spiritual tangibility called the blessing translates into physical, material prosperity. But it's more than physical. Are you listening to me? The blessing makes rich. But do you know what I love most about Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and added no sorrow. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 now, media, please. He said, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and added no sorrow. So it's possible to be rich without the blessing. But such riches comes with sorrow. Okay. Is somebody following me? But here is showing us the kind of increase, of wealth, of prosperity that comes through the blessing. Is that is the kind that has no sorrow. You know, I checked up that word sorrow in the original Hebrew, and it means painful labor. Painful what? Labor. There is a way you labor and you get wealth, but it comes with a lot of what? Pain. Too much cost. You got blessed. But is it really the blessing? Because now you got a lot of money. And the next thing, you lost your marriage. You lost your children. Your health is all over the place. That's not the blessing of the Lord. Because say, when God blesses, there's no painful sorrow. I don't know if you want that kind of manifestation. It comes through what? The blessing. So I can go on and talk about the blessing. But because it's Gratitude Sunday, my intention is now to tie it with gratitude. So God wants us to increase through the blessing that he puts on us. In fact, the blessing is our dress. You are dressed in the blessing. You are dressed in the blessing. You are covered. You know, when a man that is blessed has an invisible cloak of God around him that makes things to work. But how come gratitude has a relationship with this blessing? Matthew chapter 14 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 19. The blessing makes another no sorrow. Now, let me give you a background information about this. I don't know if you know about the five loaves and two fishes story. Raise your hand. I want to say people that went to buy Sunday school. Okay, so let me give you the background story. Jesus was with thousands of people ministering, and it was a very long meeting. So all of a sudden, they realized these people should be hungry, and it was late, and there was no way they were going to have supplies to take care of them. So it was not like they did not even have money. The problem is there was no access to what? Resources. Because apparently it was a distant place from where you can get such resources. So the disciples came to Jesus out of concern and said, "Sir, we need to let these people go. I know you've been impacting them with the word of life, but there's a problem. They are hungry, they are tired, they need to refresh. And there's no way we can get it done because of the location." And the next thing, Jesus said, "Go and give them something to eat." They're like, "What? We said there's nothing. The only thing we have is a boy's lunch, five loaves, and what? Two fishes." But look at me. Jesus did not panic. That's what I call the blessing attitude. That, you know, helps you to conduct yourself still in faith, even in the midst of shortage. Now, being a blessed man does not mean they're not going to be instances when it's going to look like you don't have what you need in the physical. Because some of you, maybe you are there, "I'm blessed forever. There will be $5 million at every point in time in my account." That would be nice. But there are going to be times and situations that you don't even want to log into your account. Have you ever been there before? You're like, no, it's scary. But the question remains, but the first thing remains, you are still blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I am blessed, regardless of my financial reports." Jesus was there under the anointing, blessed of the Lord, and yet at a point in time, they only have what? Five loaves and two fishes. And there were thousands of people to feed. But Jesus will not panic because he knows he's blessed. Lift up your two hands and say, "I do not panic. I'm not anxious, regardless of the report of the situation, because I'm blessed. Look at what he did. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19. That's what that was after they told him there was nothing in the camp but five loaves and two fishes. Can we read it? 1, 2, 3, go. The first thing, he commanded them to what? Sit. That tells you, for the blessing to work, you must function from rest. Don't you never say, neighbor? Sit down. Oh, what are we going to do? Sleep. In fact, sit, sleep. Because some other time there was storm. And where was Jesus found? He was found in the inner part of the boat, sleeping. And it was not because he was careless. It was intentional. He knew there was storm. And he knew if you lose your rest because of a storm, you will not be able to take care of the storm. Don't you know, say, neighbor, I'm in a season of sitting and sleeping. But do we need to do something? What you are doing will not help the situation. Sit and sleep. But there's a real problem here. I'm not, you know, there are people, they just love to magnify situation. Drama queen and drama kings. Because the only queen, we have kings. Drama kings. Oh my God, what are we going to do? We're going to sit down and we're going to what? Sleep. Look at it. He did not suggest maybe you should sleep. No, he commanded them because he knew, naturally speaking, you don't want to sit in that kind of a situation. But Jesus insisted, you must sit. You must rest. So he commanded them to sit. I tell people, whenever there's a situation, the first thing is rest. You know, I had to deal with something this past week. My son came called from college and he's like, Dad, I'm struggling from breathing. I'm like, what? Of course, the first thing, your parental, I told my mom, my wife said, your son just called. Then I calm myself down. Because the school is almost 3 hours from home. What am I going to do? Am I a doctor? He said, can you call your friend? He said, the friend is not picking up. And the Lord told, I knew by the Spirit what to do at that point. I prayed for him. Then the next thing I said, do this, do this, do this. And in 10 minutes, he called me back. He said, I'm fine. But you know, there's a way I could have entered panic mode, grab my key. I'm going to Obana. And whatever will happen, will still happen. You will miss out on the wisdom that God wants for the hour because you are in anxiety mode. Don't you never say, neighbor? I don't do panic. I don't do anxiety. And I don't do fear. You know, when you get into panic, anxiety, and fear, you have literally given the key to the devil to run your life. Because that's the atmosphere. He loves anxiety. He loves panic. He loves fear. He loves drama. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Calm down. Be still and know that I'm God. I'm still in charge of the situation. Reports might come that are contrary. Sit. No matter how bad the report looks, sit. The report does not mean Jesus has departed. Do you know Jesus was by Jairus when they brought the report that his daughter was dead? Jesus was right there. Jesus just healed the woman with the issue of blood and he was following Jairus to his house to go minister to, and they brought the report. Don't worry the master. This daughter is, let's start planning the burial. But Jesus turned around. He said, do not fear, only believe. That report is not final. Yeah. Hey, I don't know the report you need to cancel. I want you to get on your feet, everybody. That report is not final. I don't know the report they've been flashing before you for the last few weeks, for the last few months. This is the time to speak to that report and say, Jesus' word is the final over my life. No report, but what Jesus has said is final. Can you go ahead and do that for the next 1 minute? We all have one thing or the other we're dealing with. Maybe it's a report from your doctor. Maybe it's a report from your job, your business. Speak to that report. Say, you are not final. You are not the final word. God has what? The final word. I want you to shout this three times. I sit. One, two, three, go.
I sit. I sit. I sit.
Then you may be seated now. Now you can sit. So he commanded the multitude to sit down. Remember, when you are sitting, that means no panic, no fear, no anxiety. Can we do that? Say no panic, no fear, no anxiety. I refuse to confirm a report that is not consistent with my prophecy. I refuse to what? Confirm a report that is not consistent with my prophecy. That's not my prophecy. That's not my promise. No, no, no. It's not my report. Wrong address. You know, a few times, we've had the delivery people bring someone else's. Has it ever happened to you before? I mean, there was almost opening it because I saw the name. I said, this is. And then I saw the name, then I saw the address. I said, wrong address. If I still happened last week, my wife said, when the stuff that is not yours is mistakenly brought to your house, don't open it. Oh, no, no, this package does not belong to this family. It's okay, wrong address. It was a mistake. They brought the wrong stuff to you, and the next thing, you are opening it. The moment you open it, you have claimed it. It's not yours. And that's why you must know your promise and your prophecy. So when something that is contrary is what, no, 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 wrong result. Wrong address. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Then the next thing, he took the five loaves and what? Two fishes. Now listen, look, can I have your attention, everybody? God told me something, was it last month? He said, what you need is already in your house. But the problem is you look down on that seed. Remember, I call it a what? A seed. You know, some of us are so fixated on the harvest that we miss out on the seed. But what you don't know is that it's the seed that will become the harvest. 2 Kings chapter 4 talks about that woman whose husband had died, a prophet. And the wife ran to Elisha and said, what do we do? Your servant is dead. The creditors are here to take us away. What do we do? And the next thing, Elisha asked her, what do you have in your house? He said, a little jar of oil. What do you call little that has the capacity to change your story? Do you know it was that same little jar of oil that Elisha, the prophet of God, used by the instruction of God to turn that situation around? She said, it's just a little jar. The disciples despised this boy's lunch. In fact, they said this sarcastically. We only have five loaves and two fishes, which is nothing. But Jesus said, it's enough. Put it in my hands. It's enough. Put it in my hands. I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice that you will not miss out on your seeds. Yeah. You know, there are things you are trampling upon and you are calling nothing. That is everything. You only need to see it. Greatness does not look great at the beginning. A tiny seed can turn things around if you can only see its potential. Are you following me? So he commanded them what? To sit down, and he took the what? The five loaves. Apparently, Jesus knew what is meant to feed all this multitude is already here. That was why he asked them, what do you have? Oh, five loaves and two fishes. Bring it to me. So Jesus took the five loaves and two fish. And the next thing, he says, looking up to heaven. Can you give them the scripture, please? Looking up to heaven. Looking up to heaven. Looking up to heaven. The problem is a lot of us are looking everywhere when we're supposed to be looking up. The Lord is my shepherd. God is my source. I look up to heaven. The first thing that Jesus did was he looked up to heaven. In other words, he acknowledged the source. Everything comes from there. He looked up to heaven, the source. Then the next thing, he said, he blessed. You know, it's so interesting that the word translated blessed here is actually the Greek word eulogio, E-U-L-O-G-E-O, which means to speak well, to invoke benediction upon, to prosper. You are showing the wrong word.
I'm talking eulogio. You are already. It means to speak well, to invoke benediction upon, to prosper, or to praise. Prosper and praise in the same word. He blessed them. But how did he achieve that? By giving thanks to the source. Your blessing is inside your praise. The ability to see God's goodness in 5 loaves and 2 fishes is what unlocks your abundance. Somebody is crying over 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and someone else is looking up to heaven and giving thanks over 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So he said, but what can you do with 5 loaves and 2 fishes when the blessing rests on 5 loaves and 2 fishes through your praise? Remember, eulogio means to prosper. It also means to praise. In praising, there is the prosperity released. Remember, when the blessing comes in, it makes fruitful and it multiplies. Apparently, all it takes, all that was needed, was the power of God, the blessing, the force of heaven to rest on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Before he break it, he blessed it. He gave praise to God concerning it. He eulogio it. What do you have in your hands right now that doesn't look sufficient? God says, if you can still look up to heaven and bless me and sing praises to me over it, he said, you'll be amazed what will happen. He could have been complaining, so God, what do we do? No, he blessed it. A lot of us, we damn it. This is nothing. I'm fed up. I'm frustrated. No, don't damn it. Bless it. When you praise God over it, even when it seems insufficient, the insufficient gets multiplied. And before you know it, 5,000 people have been fed. Not only that, there were leftovers. And to let you know that this was not a one-time thing. Do you know, if you go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 36, the same thing happened. This time around, they were at 4,000 men and 7 loaves. He still took it and gave thanks. This time around, the Greek word is eucharistio, what they showed first. We simply mean just to give thanks and express gratitude. So when we're talking about engaging the blessing, your gratitude is everything. Get on your feet, somebody. Your gratitude is what? Everything. Don't you know we say, neighbor? Today, you're going to praise God like it's everything. Because really, it's everything. When you praise God, the blessing rests on what is not supposed to be enough. And before you know it, there's multiplication. There's multiplication. And people are wondering, what just happened? The blessing has happened. Psalm 67 from verse 5. A gratitude. At the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus was giving thanks. I thought something terrible just happened. If you want to change the status from terrible to beautiful, give thanks. Psalm 67. Make a practice of gratitude. Don't you never say, neighbor? Gratitude is not an option. Thank gratitude is deliberate, is intentional. Psalm 67, verse 5. Gratitude is not an option. Is what? Deliberate, because it's the MO of the. So we're going to read verse 5 to verse 7. 1, 2, 3, go. Media, we said verse 5 to 6. Okay. Verse 7.
In other words, there's a kind of release that comes by the blessing that makes everybody to be like, oh my God, what just happened? We saw need. Now there's abundance because the blessing has been introduced. So your gratitude brings in the blessing force. The supernatural force of multiplication introduced by your gratitude.
We hope you've been richly blessed by this teaching from Kingswood Ministries International. Feel free to visit our website at kingswood.org for more inspiring teachings by Dr. K. Ijishason. There you'd also find other helpful materials and further information about this ministry. God bless you richly.